You are listening to the Fish and Whips podcast, where every week we discuss all things Miami Marlins, pitching staff performance, and up-to-date news on the National League East Division. And here's your host, lifelong fan, Nick Alvarez.
And welcome back, Marlins fans, to the Fish and Whips podcast. Today, we're going to go over quite a bit of stuff, especially with Kim Ng unfortunately leaving, but then us hiring the former Rays general manager, Peter Bendix, as the official president of baseball operations. And we have a special guest on today, my dad, who has a wealth of baseball knowledge and has, you know, over 20 years of travel baseball experience. Welcome to the show, Pop. How you doing?
Hey. Thanks, son. Appreciate it. I'm doing great. Thank you.
Good. Glad to hear it. So I wanted to talk to you about Kim Ng kind of leaving the Marlins after she had, I would say, a pretty successful season, considering that, you know, she got the Marlins to the playoffs in a 162-game season for the first time since 2003. She made quite a lot of moves during the season that helped the Marlins get to where they were, getting the second wild card spot. But, you know, she also did have some setbacks in some ways. The development of our farm system wasn't fully up to par with what our standards were in the past. But I also feel like, you know, she did more good than, I guess you can say, bad. But I just wanted to get your thoughts on, you know, her leaving.
Yeah, I think that the minor league system falling down or getting worse as the last couple of years went by really was probably the big issue with Bruce Sherman. He, you know, when he took over with Jeter, the whole idea was for them to be sort of like a Rays, you know, Tampa Bay Rays system or organization, as in you bring in a lot of, you know, you develop your own players, you keep on moving them, you know, and eventually you keep a strong minor league system, and you trade some of your players after they reach arbitration and stuff. You trade them away. This way, you keep the salary of the team down. And I think in his eyes, that wasn't being met by Kim.
Okay. Now, I know Kim kind of had a soft spot for the former director of scouting. Was it
Svidlik? Dennis Svidlik?
Yeah.
Svidlik, something like that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I just wanted to kind of, I feel like that was kind of a major, or one of the major reasons why she left, is she wanted him to stay on, but then Sherman was basically like, no, I want to let him go.
Yeah, I think he was putting somewhat the blame for the minor league system's downfall, if you will, on Svidlik. And so she was protecting him. But I think also with Kim, once she found out that Bruce wanted to bring in a, you know, what is it? Chairman of the board.
A new scouting director?
Yeah. No. Chairman of the board.
Oh, new president of baseball operations. Yeah.
Bingo. Mm-hmm. President of baseball operations. Sorry. Yeah. That didn't fall well with her. So I think it was a twofold. I think in Bruce's eyes, of course, the system was down, but also there were some big salaries that were paid out. And, you know, like Avisal Garcia, you know, and that hindered the team, and he didn't want to go into that route. And I think that's what she wanted to do, spend more money on free agents to build the team and trade her minor league talent, if you will.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think Bruce wanted that.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, she, like I said, she definitely had quite a bit of success this year, especially coming off of, I believe it was a 69 win season the year before, to then, you know, hire Skip, which was a great hire, and then have him bring in all of his guys, his coaches, to then help us kind of elevate to, you know, winning more in one run games, which was a big deal last year. And this year, because we won more of those one run games, we pretty much made the postseason with it. We went, got 15 games better.
Right. And if I recollect correctly, in 22, I think we lost over 40 games by one run. And in 23, we won over 40 games by one run.
Yeah. So yeah. It was quite a turnaround.
Yes, yes. And you got to give, you know, her credit. She made some really good moves, especially at the trade deadline.
When yes.
She got, Josh Bell and...
Berger.
Berger, yes.
Yeah.
Those were two excellent moves.
Yes.
David Robertson was okay, you know, but...
it was a good move on paper.
Yes, yeah, it just didn't work out. I don't think mm-hmm. David ever wanted to be here.
Right.
But, she went and, you know, she managed to get a whole bunch of no names for the bullpen.
Mm-hmm.
And when you think about it, you know, she got A.J. Puck in the beginning of the season. And, she kept Tanner Scott, signed him to a contract. Yeah, extension, and then she got some guys, you know, that you would never think, Waskar, Brazobar.
Yeah.
And, you know, some of these guys that came out of nowhere.
Mm-hmm. Soriano really, pitched well, too.
Yes. And the lefty, Nardi, Andrew Nardi.
Oh, Nardi, yeah. Considering
he was excellent.
Last year, he was getting shellacked.
Yeah, you know,
He was one of my most improved guys, for sure.
Yeah, so she did a good job with that. And of course, Skip and Stottlemyre honed those talents and made them very, very successful for us. So
right.
That was the key, winning those 41 run games that the year before we lost. So that was huge. So you got to give her credit. Quite a few things she did well. I would have preferred more trades than free agent signings, but she did that. You know, at the trade deadline, she, like we talked already about it, she signed Berger and Bell.
Mm-hmm.
And those were two huge trades.
Yeah. Even the smaller trades, you know, when Jazz went down early in the season, when she traded for Jonathan Davis, you know, and he pretty much held down center field for like a good month and a half for us.
Right. You know, until he got hurt.
Right.
And then we got Broden Myers. And, mm-hmm. You know, so, yes, it was a real interesting season. Hopefully we developed our closer for the future in Tanner Scott.
Mm-hmm.
He really came along, and the bullpen, a lot of those guys are in their, you know, first, second, or third years in the majors. So they, you know, we got them for a while unless we want to trade them. So
right.
we're in good shape. We're in good shape in the bullpen. But we need some help in some other positions, and I guess we'll be talking about that in the near future here.
Yeah. So now with Kim Ng gone, earlier this week, we hired the former Rays general manager, Peter Bendix, as our new president of baseball operations. He has quite a track record, quite a really good track record. Started as an intern for the Rays way back in 2009 and worked his way up through the system to ultimately being the general manager for the past few years for the Rays. So a lot of front office people from the Rays organization now have quite a bit of leg up in Major League Baseball as far as like either president of baseball operations or GM spots.
Well, it's exactly what Bruce Sherman wants. And we had talked about that, you know, briefly before, but he wants to build from within.
Right.
You know, take your draft picks, make good draft picks, guys that can actually become superstars in the major league, and help build that to the point where they're like the Rays. You know, they get these guys, they come out and play. What's the shortstop again for them? For the Rays?
Diaz, I believe. Is it?
No.
No, not Diaz.
Yeah, I forget his name.
Yeah.
But anyway, they develop their own, and then they'll trade when they have to get rid of the player because they're going to make too much money. And, you know, the Rays don't have a same thing as the Marlins. They don't have a large following, per se, as people coming out to the ballpark. They'll trade these players and get more young prospects to put in their minor leagues and just keep it going and going and going. I mean, you well know how many guys that they've developed have gone out to play for other teams and become all-stars. So it's been I'm sort of jealous because we've been trying to do that, and every time we draft somebody with the Marlins, they do not flourish.
No,
for whatever reason, whether it's lack of talent, which I think it is most of the time, and the lack of good scouting. Okay.
Yes.
We're just picking the wrong guys.
Mm-hmm.
So
For some reason, we haven't been able to get that right over the past, I would say probably 5 or 6 years. But there have been some bright spots as far as drafting. We have, I think probably we're drafting better as far as pitching goes. We're really good at developing pitchers, but I feel like position players is where we lack the most.
Oh, man, badly. Real bad. One of the position players, the top one is, I can't even say that because I was about to say Jesus Sanchez, but he was in a trade also. We acquired him in a trade. Same thing with Jazz, you know?
Yep.
So when you look at our team, there's not too many guys.
Yeah, De La Cruz is the same way.
Yeah, De La Cruz is the same way. Everywhere, Arise, Wendell, you know, all these, whatever position, Bell, whatever position you go to. Even, Nick Fortis is, I think, he's ours.
Yeah, that's
it.
That's pretty much it when you think about it,
because you got Birdie, you know.
Birdie was in a trade also.
Yeah. Even that kid that we picked up at from Tampa Bay, the second baseman, Xavier Edwards.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. We picked him up in a trade. And
We
really don't have any homegrown. You know?
Like lack of homegrown talent, correct. Yes, you're right. So I think, you know, that's pretty much one of Bendix's new tasks is, you know, helping build that foundation to create more of the homegrown talent.
Right.
So, yeah, I mean, I think it was a very solid hire by Bruce, considering a lot of the fallout he was getting around Major League Baseball for letting Kim Ng go after she had a successful year. But I really think that hiring Bendix was probably the best move he could probably make. And I think he's going to really help turn, you know, the front office and the organization around to
I think really help too,
especially the scouting and analytics departments.
You know, rumors were that he wasn't Bruce's first pick. The first choice was Hein Bloom.
Right.
But he turned it down. Did he want
Yes, he didn't. He declined to be interviewed. That's correct.
Right.
Yes.
Right. Mm-hmm. But anyway, I'm hoping that this gentleman will turn things around and make us back to a team that's consistently fighting for a playoff spot and even, you know, going deep into the playoffs. That would be great.
Yeah.
So it's going to be interesting these next couple of months. You know, what is it? In December is
The winter meetings.
The winter meetings. Mm-hmm. So he's got a month.
Yeah, and then, you know, especially with a lot of minor league players choosing free agency, you kind of have to then build that whole thing up yet again.
Yes, which is it's great, and he's going to. I'm sure they're going to take a lot of Rule 5 players for the majors. They might take one or two, but for the minor leagues, you get those Rule 5 players that play the minor leagues. They're going to go after quite a few of those guys, especially guys that he knows from Tampa Bay. So it's going to be interesting. So
So yeah, I mean, to kind of segue into that a little bit, I also wanted to talk about, you know, helping keep the main team, the Marlins, kind of in competition. I know that Jorge Soler declined his player option for next season for us, which was expected. But good news is that Josh Bell did opt in with us, so he will be back for 2024. I know he really enjoyed the clubhouse environment here and being a part of this culture that we're starting to build as far as Skip and everyone in the all the coaches in the clubhouse. They really felt like it was a whole different vibe, a breath of fresh air, considering how it was from last season. I think
Kim's best trade, best move that she ever made was when she signed Berger. Traded for Berger, I should say.
Yes.
That was fantastic.
Yes.
What she did and gave up very little in return and have somebody that's still going to be, what is he? He's got three or four years left on his contract, no?
3 or 4 years left of control, correct.
Yeah, of control. So that's hopefully that'll be a great thing. We'll see if he does what the Rays do. They may not sign him. They may trade him if he keeps on doing well. You know how they are.
Yeah, so but you know, if he still has those years of control, then I think it's more manageable than you know if he was going to be like a free agent next year and then having a big contract. You know, it would be a big difference.
And as far as Soler goes, you know, he made things exciting at any moment.
Yes.
You know, he could pop one and, but you know, you had the negative side with Soler. I think he was a really good teammate. I think they liked him a lot and everything. So had nothing to do with that, but he was constantly injured, struck out a lot, wasn't very good defensively. Wasn't a good base runner either because he wasn't that fast. So you know, he was like one-dimensional. And if Bendix brings what he did in Tampa, there's not going to be too many players like that they're going to have.
You know? He was good as far as checking all the boxes for the power and having the great slugging, and he did walk quite a bit. I know that.
Yes, he did.
He did have a really good eye at the plate this year.
Yeah, in the second half of the season,
yes,
he did a tremendous job of getting on base for a guy who doesn't hit for average. But his on base percentage was pretty good, considering because of a lot of walks that he did. But you know, he demanded respect. And right now we're back to being somewhat of a, if you will, what they call a Punch and Judy hitting team. We're not going to have too many guys. You got Berger, who probably could hit 25, 30 again, if not more.
Yes.
And Bella hit you 20, maybe 25.
25, yeah.
Yeah. But and then
if Jazz is healthy, you know, I mean, he hit 19 homers, and I think he barely played over 100 games this year. So yeah, I think if he can finally have a year where he plays, you know, 130, 140 games, we're probably talking about 20 to 25 homers for him.
Yeah.
I mean, we have some power there, you know, but I feel like we probably just need that one more guy.
Yep, I definitely agree. But I guess we'll get to that a little bit later on.
Yes. So, I mean, you know, having Bell opt in is obviously good for us to have him back. It also fills a potential void at first base. I know he's not, you know, the best at first base as far as fielding, but I felt like his fielding actually was pretty decent when he was here. Also provides a switch hitter in the lineup.
He doesn't have reins or soft hands, but right. It's not because of a lack of trying.
Yes,
and he's a good teammate. They love him, and they you know, he's a rah rah guy, and I think he has had such a great time being on this team. That's why he's coming back. Not only that, we are giving him $60 million option.
So right.
I'm sure that had something to do with it, but
oh yeah, I'm sure.
But it would be nice to see that he could come back and have another solid year, and then maybe get another extension, whether it's from us or from some other team. But I gained a lot of respect for him. I thought when I saw him with Pittsburgh and some other teams, Washington, he looked lazy to me. By the way, I think he's a little bit out of shape. Hopefully Skip is going to talk to him and get him in better physical shape.
Yeah.
Lose a little weight there. I think which would be better for his knees and everything. But, I always considered him a little bit on the lazy side. But playing with the Marlins, he impressed me. He wasn't lazy at all.
So. He was all in, for sure.
Yeah, he was all in. Yeah, no doubt.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, I mean, now that we lost a little bit of power with Soler, but still gained some back with Bell. We have quite a few holes that we still need to fill on the main roster. I know we're missing quite a bit of some key positions. I know we're losing Joey Wendell to free agency.
By the way, one of the good signings that Bendix did already was signed Birdie.
Yes.
He signed Birdie to a 2-year extension.
Yes.
$3 million a year or something like that.
Mm-hmm. And, yes.
And that was a good signing. Because that guy is another guy that he doesn't have a lot of talent, if you will, but he gives you everything he's got all the time. And he can play you a good defensive, even shortstop. He's not the greatest at, don't get me wrong.
Right.
But he plays a good second base. He'll play you a good third base. He'll play you a good outfield, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And in this last year, he was hurting. They never came out and said why he wasn't stealing bases like he did the year before.
Right.
But he was hurting. So I think it was his legs. And so he had shut it down for a while. But if he comes back healthy next year, he'll probably be up in the 30, 40 stolen base range again.
Yeah, I agree. I also, now, you know, with free agency coming around and the general manager meetings coming up, especially the winter meetings coming up in December, free agency and possible trade targets are going to be in order, especially with the main roster. So I kind of wanted to go over some of these free agency targets that you think, you know, could be possible for us to get maybe next year on the roster.
Right. Well, just want to start off with, it'll probably be low salary guys. So
Yes, or like maybe like a 1 year prove it deal kind of
guys.
Yes,
yes. That's true. That's correct.
Yes. So, I mean, I feel like probably one of our biggest needs in free agency is probably going to be catcher.
Yes.
Considering how now I know Stallings and Fortes were pretty good with the rotation and the bullpen and getting them all together and really improving, you know, especially the back end of the bullpen. But I feel like, you know, their offense was seriously lacking throughout the season. And that's kind of putting it nicely. Yes.
It was horrible.
Yes.
Horrible, horrible. You know, I don't think together they even, if you put them together, I don't think they had 60 or 70 RBIs combined.
No,
so
I think
it was
really
bad.
I'm not even sure if they had 50.
Yeah,
it was bad. From the offensive standpoint, it was pretty bad.
Yeah. And it's a shame because I was expecting a lot more from Fortes. Offensively, mm-hmm. I knew that Stallings was kind of limited.
Right.
I just didn't think defensively he would be that bad.
Yeah, he definitely has regressed.
Yes, no doubt about it.
As far as his primary goal, which is fielding and blocking.
Do you know if he's still under contract next year?
I believe he is still under contract, I think, for another season.
Let's see what miracle Bendix could pull on that one.
We'll see. Yes, we'll definitely have to see.
And the problem is we really don't have, even in free agency, there's not very many players that will be that big of an improvement on, you know, Fortes and Stallings.
Yeah.
You know, so that's going to be something tough to deal with. But I think they're going to have to eventually. I mean, you guys got the Gary Sanchez, who you never know what you get with that guy. You know.
Well, I mean, the positive about Sanchez is his bat. Now he only hit .217 as far as his average last year, but his OPS was like around .780. So,
yeah.
And in about, I think a little over 80 games last year, he hit 19 homers and drove in 47 runs.
Right.
So,
yeah,
I mean,
his thing is, of course, is his defense.
Yes.
And, I think he's a pretty stubborn guy. He doesn't want to listen to change. You know, this is the way I am. This is it. He's also not a very good game caller, pitch caller for the pitchers. Mm-hmm. So if they get him, I know in Miami there's a lot of Latinos, and they would like that. But you're going to have somebody else that you could depend on. And Fortes and Stallings are not it.
Yes.
So
I agree.
Then you have Mitch Garver, right? Is another one?
Yes. You know, the thing with Mitch is he was only in about like 75 games this past season. He came up big for them in the postseason for the Rangers, and helping them win the World Series. But you know, he hit .270. His OPS was .870, which is really, really, really good. He also hit 19 homers and drove in 50 runs.
Defense is comparable to Sanchez.
Yes. So,
in fact,
you know, they're kind of more
caught
the mashers than more the defensive prowess.
During the playoffs, World Series there, he only caught like 20 games last year, 25 games. So,
mm-hmm.
So that's a guy that, and he's 34 years old.
Yes. Yeah. He's going into his age 34 season next year.
Yeah.
That is correct. So, I mean, maybe with Sanchez or with Garver, maybe you give them a 1 year prove it deal with maybe a team option for the next year kind of thing.
Right.
But you know, as far as catching goes in free agency, like those are probably the top two guys on the market. Yep. The next guy is Victor Caratini. He's more of a backup guy, but he's more known for his fielding than his hitting, even though his right. hitting isn't bad, you know.
No, he's an all-star for us. If he was playing yeah. for us this year, he'd be an all-star.
Yeah, he would. If we had somebody like that, you know, that would have made a huge difference for sure.
Right.
As far as yeah. the offense goes. And he's going into his age 31 season. So, I mean,
my gut feeling is Bendix is going to make some type of trade. Whether it's a rule 5 pick, but a right. trade for a young catcher and mm-hmm. bring him up and, let him win the spot. I don't see Bendix signing Gary Sanchez. The Rays no. would never sign Gary Sanchez. I mean, I just don't see it
yeah.
because of his attitude and his temperament and his laziness. Garver is a different story. Garver is, he's a hustler. You know, he gives you everything he's got. So Garver wouldn't be totally surprised if they brought him in, but I'm still thinking he's going to try to get a young catcher from some other team,
mm-hmm.
In some type of trade.
Yeah.
So that's my gut feeling.
Yeah. Another good news is we kind of have the right side of the infield locked up, at least for next year, with the Rise at second and Bell at first. Yes. So that's good news for us. So I don't really
half
think...
of the left side is got locked up because we got, of course, Berger.
Right.
But, yeah.
But we definitely have a need at shortstop for sure.
Yes.
Wendell
and Birdie and who else? There was somebody else that we would put in there. I forget who it was.
I think we put in Edwards a little bit there too.
Yeah, Edwards. Yeah. Those guys are definitely not the answers.
No. Oh, I like Edwards.
Maya came up a little bit.
Yeah.
Yeah, but Edwards I like as a utility guy, backup
or right.
Rise, maybe play a few innings, at shortstop, a couple games mm-hmm. here and there, and at third base. He's got a sweet stroke and, he's got some good speed.
Yes.
And he's young. He's still only like 24, 25.
Right, yeah.
So to me, he's a keeper. I definitely think he's a keeper.
I think so, too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But there's not many shortstops out there, babe.
No, there definitely isn't. But I think a lot of these prospects like Ahmed Rosario, Tim Anderson, and Isaiah Kiner-Falefa, those are probably being, the cream of this crop. I guess you can say, even though it's not fruitful in the slightest.
Not at all.
Tim Anderson and Rosario, they're both former All-Stars, but Tim Anderson's coming off arguably the worst year in his career, and Rosario's coming off a subpar season. Falefa is also coming off of a below average season compared to where he was the year before. So mm-hmm. you kind of have to.
I like kind of Falefa as a utility guy.
Right.
But not as an everyday shortstop.
No. I mean, he's got a pretty good glove for sure.
Yeah.
But, he's not a guy that you can count on to produce offensively.
Right. Now, there's a couple of guys that I've been thinking about that, and one of them was a former Ray. His name is Willie Adames.
Yes.
Milwaukee Brewers.
I've heard that name being thrown around a little bit.
Yes.
He
strikes out a lot, but
yes.
he'll hit you 30, 35 home runs and steal you a whole bunch of bases and play a hell of a defense.
Yes.
So if he's available and Bendix could get him, that would be a huge get. Huge.
Yes. I also think now that, the Brewers, I heard, were kind of looking to not blow it up per se, but they're looking, they're sellers is what, yeah, is what it sounds like. Yep. You know, they're open to moving guys. So yes. I think, you know, if we're able to come up with a offer that gets us, you know, Adamas, that would be a really huge deal, not only offensively, like you said, but defensively as well. And that would really bolster the infield.
Yeah, he's a good guy in the clubhouse and stuff. And
yes.
So, he would be definitely a really, really good get. That would increase our production. He's like an 80, 90 RBI guy. And like, yes, I said, 25, 30 homers. And excellent, excellent defense. Almost gold glove material.
Type defense, yes.
Yeah, yeah. So that would be a great guy. And there's one more guy I was looking at. And who's the shortstop now for the Baltimore Orioles?
I believe, well, Gunnar Henderson plays third.
No, Henderson played short too.
Yes.
There's a guy called Joey Ortiz.
Okay.
He's stuck behind Henderson and I forget the other guy plays third base for them.
Mateo?
I can't remember. But anyway.
I think it's Jorge Mateo. Him.
Yeah, thank you. And Mateo's a shortstop, right.
Mm-hmm.
So that wouldn't be a bad guy to get either somehow.
Yeah.
You got Mateo. If they want to bring up Ortiz. But Ortiz is 24, 20. I think he's 25 now. Mm-hmm. And he played college ball. But he's been tearing it up in the minors. And lately he's been showing a lot of pop. And excellent, excellent fielder.
Yes.
You know. So, and I don't think it would take a lot to get him. Because I don't think they're seeing him as the guy who's going to play shortstop for them in the future because of Mateo and Gunnar Henderson, so on and so forth. So,
and then
anyway.
Also Jackson Holliday is going to be coming up.
Oh yeah, that's
soon
the
too.
Other guy. You're right. Mm-hmm. So he's tied up. He, you know,
right.
He's not going to get playing time. So I'm thinking they would be looking to get rid of him, trade him, and that would be a definitely good get.
Yes.
If Bendix could pull that one off. Because yes. His strength is his fielding. There's no doubt about it. He's got good speed too, but he's developing. He makes pretty good contact, and he's developing pop. So it's a guy that maybe, to keep an eye out, see if we could pull a trade for him. That'd be a good one.
Now, I know Tim Anderson, obviously, like we said, is coming off the worst year of his career. But I think that could be an alternative if we aren't really successful in the trade market. Only because if I think it was just a really bad environment in Chicago, and I think he just wasn't bought in at all, and he was just kind of going through the motions. But I really think that he, when he's on, I think he's a really good clubhouse guy, and I think he, you know, even if he kind of produces, you know, 70-80% of what his normal stats were in years past, that's still quite a bit of an improvement over, you know, what we have.
You know, I just go back thinking how the Rays operate, and I don't remember too many times they're going after a guy that, to put it mildly, dogged it in the season, and they will go make a trade for that guy. I don't think they want that type of guy in their dugout. So my gut feeling is Bendix would never go after him. Same thing with Ahmed Rosario. He's another guy that shows up once a week to play. Got talent all over the place. So I just don't see it. Now, Falefa, different animal. That guy comes to play. He plays hard. He gives you every ounce he's got. He's just not super talented. If he had the talent that Anderson had with his attitude, he'd be, you know, one of the best all-stars in baseball, shortstops. But anyway, I just don't see it. Anderson coming to the Marlins. I don't think he would want to either, but But you know, Skip Schumacher, as if that's what the one thing with Bendix and Schumacher. I'm guessing they're going to be thinking the same thing,
mm-hmm.
that we're going to bring guys here that love the game of baseball, that are going to play hard all the time,
and that want to be here,
and that want to be there. Yeah, and that they're good clubhouse people, good human beings. Mm-hmm. And so some of these guys that we've been talking about don't fit that bill, okay? So, you know, I mean, Mitch Garver, yeah. Caratini, I think he's a hustler, you know. He's always trying to prove himself. But, you know, Gary Sanchez and Ahmed Rosario and Tim Anderson, those type of guys, I don't see it.
Yeah.
I mean, I could be wrong, but.
Right. I mean, you know, like maybe like we said, a 1 year prove it deal, maybe right. for Anderson, kind of maybe that will kind of revive him a little bit.
Yeah.
And being you know in a different that environment.
Work? That would work only. I don't think Bendix would go after him. I think Anderson would have to say, I want to play for the Marlins.
Right.
Give me a shot. Give me that 1 year deal. I'll prove it to you.
Yeah.
Then maybe. You know right. what I'm saying? That's yeah. different. But I don't right. think Bendix is going to get on the phone and call Anderson. Hey, you know, do you want to play for the Marlins? Because he's going to say, yeah, you know, because he's going to want as many teams after him as possible so he can raise his
right.
thing. But if he comes after the Marlins, maybe mm-hmm. that'll happen. So
yeah. Now, I know we're pretty locked up at third base as far as Berger goes, but I was thinking that either we could go after a Justin Turner for like a 1 year deal, even though he's going into his age 40 season. Maybe we could use him as a DH and kind of replace Soler, or we could go after Jamer Candelario and have yeah. Candelario play third and Berger DH.
Right. And Candelario, I see. Justin Turner, I don't. I'm trying to remember. There was a team that wants him badly. I think it's the Cleveland Guardians, but it also could be Toronto. They want Turner badly.
Yeah.
No, it wasn't. It was the Rangers. Yeah, I'm just off the top of my head. I can't remember, but I know there's some other teams already after him.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I've been talking to him, so we'll see. But I don't think he'll come. He refused last season to come to the Marlins. I don't think he'll come.
Yeah, but I mean, I think that was mostly because of our past.
Right.
But I think now maybe that we've kind of proven ourselves this year. Maybe he might give it another. Maybe he might give it a second thought.
Right.
But who
knows? I like the Candelario guy.
Yes,
a lefty. Actually, he's a switch hitter, isn't he?
I'm not sure, to be honest.
Okay. But yeah, he's got a little pop, and you know, he's not a big power guy.
He'll hit you 15 to 20 homers.
Yeah, exactly.
You know.
Yeah. But he hits a lot of doubles.
Yes.
It's a lot of doubles.
Yes. And he drives in a good amount of runs too. He drove in, I think, 70 runs last year, which is still pretty good.
Yes.
You know, I would say we probably have, you know, the outfield somewhat locked up. But, you know, having maybe a corner outfielder, like a possible DH option, would be another way to go there too. Maybe with like a Jock Peterson being a DH or.
Yeah, I like Peterson. You know, he gets in those hot streaks. He's a streaky hitter.
Yeah.
And he can carry a team for a week or two.
Right.
Yeah. So, you know, I like Peterson, the guy that if somehow he's not very good defensively. Don't get me wrong, but he's got a bat and he's another guy that if he gets hot, he'll carry a team for a month. That's J.D. Martinez.
Yes. Yes.
And, you know, you could use him as the DH when Bell is in DH and he's actually played a little bit of first base. So you can mm-hmm. use him there, I think.
Yeah.
You know, push come to shove type of thing. But that guy, you know, he strikes out a lot. But when he gets hot,
Yeah.
He'll carry a team.
He still hit, I think, over 30 homers and drove in 100 runs this past year and still hit 270. So, you know, having a guy like that would, you know, be a huge addition. And considering he's also a hometown kid, former, went to my high school, Flanagan High School, home of the Falcons. he was a class of 2007, I believe, or 2006, one of those. And, you know, it would be kind of a cool story to have another hometown kid come back and play for, you know, his hometown team. Yeah. I feel like that would be a great little story, you know, especially because he's kind of in the final few years of his career, to kind of, you know, come back and play for his team, play for the team he grew up watching. I think that would be pretty cool.
Right. I agree. That would be nice. As far as pitching goes, go ahead.
I was going to keep going on the outfield. As far as, you know, maybe considering a fourth outfielder, I was thinking of more of like a Travis Jankowski from the Rangers. I was thinking, you know, that would be a good option as like a fourth outfielder spot.
Is he a free agent?
Yes.
Oh, I didn't
know that. He's not really a power guy. He's more of a speedster. Right. He'll steal you like 20, 25 bases, but his power really isn't there at all. Right. But, you know, he'll hit you 260, 270, get on base really well. But I'm thinking, you know, maybe as like we said, like maybe that fourth outfielder option to maybe like spare Sanchez or spare De La Cruz for a game here and there, as far as their defense goes, I think that would be, you know, someone to possibly look after. I think he's one of those good clubhouse guys as well. And that's, you know, kind of if he doesn't go back. Now, another option I wanted to kind of go over is possibly signing somebody in center field, and maybe moving Jazz back in the infield, maybe moving Jazz to shortstop, as, you know, a lot of Marlins fans are pretty much saying, why don't we just move Jazz back to shortstop and get, you know, more of an actual center fielder. And I think, you know, a couple options would be Kevin Kiermaier, who was in the Rays system for years before he was in Toronto, and Bendix is very familiar with Kiermaier, and Kiermaier is arguably one of the best fielding center fielders of our generation. Or maybe even considering bringing back Adam Duvall and maybe having him play some center field. He was really good for us when he was here. And I think he left on pretty good terms. I think maybe bringing him back, even though they're both kind of going into their age 34 and 35 seasons, I feel like maybe having that veteran presence and having the Rays connection with Kiermaier and kind of how he was brought up in that culture, I think maybe bringing that culture here would be a really good fit.
Right. I think they're not going to pull Chisholm out of center field. I'll be shocked. And I saw enough of him fielding at second base that I said to myself, I'm glad he's not playing shortstop for us. His throwing is very inaccurate. His being in the right position he's not a good defensive center shortstop, my opinion. Doesn't mean I'm right, but my opinion is I don't see him coming back in the infield. Now, as far as Kiermaier and Duvall, yes, if somehow we ended up with them instead of De La Cruz, okay. I wouldn't even cry. Sanchez, I want to give him another year before I let him go. But De La Cruz, he's just not good defensively. He's not good. He's not a what's the word I want to use? A smart, intelligent fielder. Doesn't know where to throw the bases, to throw to. Mm-hmm. Doesn't hit his cutoffs. Doesn't hustle lots of times. very moody guy. He hit, what, 17, 18 homers this year, or 19, whatever it was.
He did come up for us in a lot of clutch situations.
Oh, yeah, yeah, no doubt about it. But because of that, if we could get if we could trade him and get something really good in return, I'd be fine with that. But there, signing Kiermaier, Duval. I love Duval. He's a team player. And Kiermaier gives you every ounce.
Everything.
On every play.
Yes.
Every time he runs to first base, he is just giving it. That's why he always gets hurt.
Yeah.
But nobody out-hustles Kiermaier.
And seeing him play center field is like watching art at work.
Yes, it's true. He will save you so many runs.
Yes.
Defensively. And he's got a good arm also, which is, you know, to boot.
Like his,
the rumors are the Yankees want him in center field.
Yeah. His offense is, you know, is just average at best, but his WAR is like almost four wins above replacement. How good he is in center field.
Yes. Yeah. He is one of the prime center fielders of our era. No doubt about it.
Yes.
So, by the way, another guy who had a down year last year that I like a lot is Michael Taylor.
Yeah.
Another good defensive guy.
Yes.
He didn't have a good year last year. Only hit .220. But he steals bases. Tremendous defensive outfielder also. And he's got a little pop in his bat, you know?
He did hit 20 homers. Good guy.
Yeah.
That's a good guy. You know. He's going. He'll be going into his age 33 season, so maybe giving him maybe a 1 or 2 year contract, maybe with the player option for second or third year or team option kind of deal. I think that would be interesting. Especially going back to DH, I think if we can bring back Soler, of course I would want him back. I feel like a lot of people in Miami would want him back, especially with the Cuban connection. I feel like that would be a really big deal. But, you know, if we can't, I feel like, you know, maybe trying to go after JD Martinez would be a fantastic move. I feel like we have several options that we can go to for DH rather than just those two guys.
No doubt. If we want to talk about starting pitching,
yes,
we need a fifth pitcher, preferably an experienced guy.
Yeah.
Okay. There's two guys that I like.
This is especially because the Johnny Cueto experiment didn't work out at all.
Yeah, Cueto didn't work out, and of course we lost our ace.
For 2024, correct.
But if you could get Eduardo Rodriguez or Michael Walker, those two guys will talk. Michael Walker is the big question mark. He's always hurt. He's always had shoulder problems. Okay. He'll only pitch you 20 to 25 games before, you know, he gets hurt or whatever, or throughout the whole season. But when he's healthy, he's really good.
Yeah.
But the trouble is keeping him healthy. Mm-hmm. But Rodriguez, a lefty who throws hard.
Yes.
I think Stoudemire would really help him refine his tools.
Mm-hmm.
And there's one more guy that you'll probably laugh at.
Okay.
But he had a horrible season last year. Was basically booed out of New York. Luis Severino. I'm thinking if Stotts could get a hold of him, Todd Stoudemire could bring him back to what he was. That guy was still throwing 96, 97 miles an hour.
Right.
So it had nothing to do with his velocity. A lot had to do with his placement and apparently
his command.
Teams were picking up what he was pitching.
He was tipping his pitches,
Tipping his pitches. So if Stoudemire could get a hold of him in spring training and get him, because I think you'll get him cheap, needless to say.
Yeah.
Because he's another guy that can't last the season. He's always goddamn hurt. But if you could get him healthy for a while and get him with Stoudemire, I think he would be an interesting find.
Yeah. Yeah, that would, you know, if he's able to, you know, kind of get back some of his former glory, you know, when he was really good with the Yankees, I feel like having him would be really, really, you know, really good. That would be really promising.
Yep.
Yeah, that's a good, that's interesting. Now I'm thinking about it. Yeah, that's very interesting. That's a good, that's a good call, Pop.
Yeah.
Now,
thanks.
Another, I think maybe another guy who would be interesting would be like a Jack Flaherty.
Yeah, he's another guy that, you know, who was the top of his game 2 or 3 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
Then the last couple of years have not been the way he's wanted them to go.
Yeah.
You know, so,
but he's only going into his age 29 season, so he's going into his prime. He's not like, you know, 34, 35 years old.
Yep.
So he's still got some years left on him.
Yep,
so
yep.
I mean, if
you're going to sign Johnny Cueto for what was it, $10 million a year last year?
Yeah.
Yeah, something like that, right? Mm-hmm. If you're going to sign that guy, this is why Kim Ng probably isn't there no more. You might as well sign somebody that's young and, you know, still has it. Mm-hmm. He just needs to be worked with, you know, refined.
Put him with Mel, and you know, I think that would be a really nice comeback for him.
Right.
I think that would be interesting.
Yep.
As far as relievers go, I feel like the back end of our bullpen was genuinely improved from the year before. You know, especially with Scott and Nardi. AJ Puck was good at times. I also felt like who else was really good? Like Brazoban came in,
and
really helped out. Soriano was good, but I still feel like we could probably use another arm or two in the bullpen to really bolster. Well,
there's another guy that's coming, and hopefully they'll put him on the roster. Anthony Maldonado.
Hmm.
He pitched really well for them last year. He throws in the mid-90s, 95, 96. I think he's topped out in 97. And he's got a really good slider. So he did really well for them last season. And so don't be surprised if he shows up, you know, and makes the team out of the spring, you know?
Now, also, don't forget Anthony Bender will possibly be back sometime next year.
That's right. Bender's coming back from the disabled list. That's right.
Mm-hmm.
And if Bender's healthy, he had a nasty slider. Holy cow.
I mean, he literally lived up to his last name, Bender.
Yeah.
He would bend that thing like nobody's business.
Yeah, yeah.
And he would throw like 98, 99, like ease.
Yeah. So
I really feel like if he can come back and regain some of his form, that would be another really good addition, you know, that, you know, was kind of homegrown in our system. That would be like the homegrown guy. Another interesting thought I had was, you know, coming off of a pretty decent year, what if we brought in Aroldis Chapman?
You know, with him,
I know
he's not a good clubhouse guy. That's the problem.
But,
you know,
but
he's Cuban. I know.
Yes. He's Cuban. He would be home. Maybe that home environment would kind of like really, you know, tug on his heartstrings a bit.
Yeah.
You know,
they went after him last year, but he wanted, Kim was going to offer him a 1-year contract. He wanted 2 years.
Right.
And she wasn't going to offer that.
Mm-hmm.
If he's willing to take that type of contract from Bendix, a 1-year contract, proving yourself type of thing.
Right.
I mean, even though he somewhat proved himself this last year, he had a good year. It wasn't the old Aroldis Chapman type of years.
Yeah. I mean, his ERA was just barely above 3.
Yeah.
And
yeah,
he's still over 9 innings, he still could strike out over 16 guys, and he was still hitting up, you know, over 100 with ease at most of the time.
So if he says, yeah, I'll come to, you would think he would want to come to Miami.
Right.
But if he said, yeah, I want to play for Miami this year, it would be a good get, because it would give Tanner Scott somebody else to close out games with, because Nardi's not really the closer. And who was the other one that we tried? Nardi. There was a right-handed pitcher.
I'm not sure. I can't remember off the top of my head.
Oh well,
I think we did try Brazoban a couple of times.
We had Puck also, of course.
Yeah.
The beginning of the season.
Yeah.
He was not good. But anyway, if you could get another relief pitcher to help out with the eighth inning. Why can't I remember the guy's name? Because it was Nardi in the seventh, and in the ninth was Scott. In the eighth was a right-handed pitcher. It wasn't Florio. We got rid of him.
Right.
Damn. Oh, it'll come to me.
Yeah.
But,
but anyway. Bringing in like another veteran presence like a Chapman, I think that would be an interesting find. Now, another guy I was thinking of, and this is more for fun, was Will Smith, because for the last few years, every team that he's been on has won the World Series.
Oh yeah.
So, you know, maybe he brings some of that, you know, World Series magic juju to us, right, and you know, can maybe help us bring another World Series to the Marlins. But that was more of like a fun thing, you know. Another guy, maybe bringing a guy like Ryan Stanek back. I think that he had a pretty decent year.
He has a relationship with Bendix, so you never know.
Right, exactly. Growing up in the Rays organization, correct? Yeah, you know, or maybe bringing in a guy who kind of came off a not so good year, but had several good years in the past, would maybe bring in another lefty, Andrew Chafin. Be bringing him in.
Chafin is good.
When he's on, he's one of probably the best left-handers in the game, left-hand relievers in the game. So I think maybe probably bringing him on would be pretty interesting to see too.
You agree?
Yeah. So, I mean, the Marlins have a lot of options in free agency and, you know, possible trade targets. So hopefully, you know, they're able to pull some rabbits out of the hat with trading, or, you know, also make some magic or do some creative things with free agency.
I can't wait to the winter meetings and, of course, spring training, because baseball is my game, the game I love so much. But I can't wait for it. Hopefully, again, Skip, with the help of Bendix and Bruce Sherman, turn this team around again, make them another playoff team, or at least compete for the playoff spot.
Right.
And see what happens. It's going to be interesting, because we have a new leader, and we got to see which way he goes, how he does things. Because now he's in charge. So it's going to be interesting. I'm sure that when Bruce Sherman brought him in, said, you're in charge, you do it your way, I'll try to help you as much as I can financially, but this is what I want. And Bendix said, okay, I could live with that. So we'll see.
And then, you know, I think with having him come in, but then also having, I would say, a better foundation than when Kim Ng was brought in, having, you know, a manager of the year candidate like a Skip Schumacher, and having some cornerstones like Luis Arraez, who won the Silver Slugger, that was just announced today. So, you know, he had a fantastic year. You know, having like guys like a Jazz Chisholm, having, you know, another guy like Jake Berger, and having, even though Sandy will be missing 2024, having Sandy Alcantara still under contract for a few more years starting in 2025, I feel like, you know, there are, the pieces are there.
Yep.
So it's all Yuri, about, don't forget, it's all about finding the guys who can complete the puzzle.
Yeah. You don't forget Yuri Perez. And
yes,
of course, Lizardo.
Garrett.
And Garrett. Yeah. We had some decent arms there, no doubt. Mm-hmm. So we could add one or two more to help out. That would be tremendous. So, and you know, yes, we got some of the kids that were hurt. Max Meyer coming back. We have the other Meyer. Was it the first round pick last year? Is it Gabriel Meyer? The first round pick last year, pitcher, high school.
Yes. No. What? Noblemeyer?
Noblemeyer.
Yeah. It. Noble.
Noblemeyer. I mean, yes, he's not going to be pitching for us next year, but...
No, probably more 2025, 2026, I would
yeah,
say.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So, anyway, we got some young arms down there, and hopefully they'll... Dax Fulton is another guy.
Yes, Dax is still around, correct.
Yeah, yeah. So, anyway, things are looking up. I'm scared to say it, but...
Yeah, we're definitely in a better spot than we have been in years past.
I think so. So, I mean, you know, Bendix is going to have to show us, and so we could believe it and say, wow, you know, we finally got, you know, a leader.
Right.
He knows what he's doing, how he wants to do it. Mm-hmm. He's going to field a good team every year, in and out, every year.
Exactly.
That would be awesome. Yep.
Yes, I agree. Well, again, Pop, thanks for coming on. I really feel like, you know, we covered a lot today. Hopefully by the time the winter meetings come around, we'll come back on again and hopefully see what the Marlins have cooked up for us.
All right. Well, thanks for having me. It's been a pleasure. Hopefully we didn't put too many people asleep.
No, I don't think we did. I think we did a really good job.
Yeah. And I look forward to the Miami Marlins 2024.
All right. All right. And guys, thanks again for listening to the Fish and Whips podcast. I will be doing more podcasts during the off season, so stay tuned. All right.
Thanks for listening to the Fish and Whips podcast. For updates and timely commentary, follow the Fish and Whips podcast on Twitter at Fish N Whips. That's Fish, the letter N, and the word Whips. You can also follow your host, Nick Alvarez, on Twitter at Nick's Take 22. Thanks so much for listening, and we'll see you next week.